You know, so often I find husbands shirking their responsibilities in Christ because they are worried about how their wives will respond. And they're worried about the temporary realities. Do the right thing, which is the best thing for your wife, and let God take care of the consequences. He is the one who judges righteously.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in today's broadcast, we continue our detour from our series in the book of Colossians to turn to 1 Peter chapter 3.
Indeed we do, Dave. And after a brief review of the book of 1 Peter, we're going to begin to see what the man's role is in the marriage relationship. So turn with us to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're looking at verse 7.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, Scripture is clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every person, everyone sinned. We've all fallen short. And it's clear that sin affects everyone. It affects every relationship. Now, certainly sin separates us from God, and it is only through Christ that we are brought into a relationship with the Lord. But sin affects every relationship. It affects our friendships, work, family, whatever it might be, and especially sin affects our marriages. Now, with every difficulty, every relational difficulty, the world has its answers. For the world, the answers to difficulties in marriage might be drugs or alcohol or through psychological counseling or through divorce even. The world has its solution to problems that come about from sin. But for believers, it's different. It's different. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him, through His precious and magnificent promises. And yet, unfortunately, there are times within the church that we can get led astray concerning the things we need to hear in relationship to things like marriage. And we need to go back to the reality of what God has shared in His Word that we might understand rightly our actions and our reactions and ultimately what God desires for the relationship. You know, last week we saw what believing wives are to do, and today we're going to see what believing husbands are to do. And more specifically, we're going to see how to let Christ direct how you regard your wife and live with her. Now, if some of you are saying, well, I'm not married here. Actually, this has nothing to do with me. Well, it doesn't primarily have anything to do with you, but secondarily it does. You see, first of all, God has given the gift of some of singleness. There's no doubt about that. We see that in 1 Corinthians 7. The Apostle Paul apparently had that gift to devote time completely to the Lord. But otherwise, if you haven't had that gift, God's possibly going to bring about marriage. Whatever age, the Lord is probably going to do that. And you need to be aware of what God calls for concerning the marriage relationship. But secondarily, within this, the same principles that apply to husbands and wives, as we will see, apply to each and every one of us in our walk with Jesus Christ. The same principles of relying on Christ, depending on Him, allowing His Word to address our thinking applies to us. So don't just sit back and not listen. And then also, too, as I mentioned for last week, as I mentioned for the wives, husbands, as you heard that, I shared, don't be pointing your finger at your wife when you hear those scriptures. We need to address our own hearts. We should never come to church and listen to a sermon and be thinking about how it applies to everyone else. We should be thinking about how it applies to us, to us. And the same exhortation I have today for wives, don't be sitting here the whole time going, my husband doesn't do this or that. Pray, Lord, I pray that your word works in his heart and it works in my heart, that I would see myself rightly, that I would obey you and trust you. We need to trust the Lord to work through his word. So that's my exhortation as we begin. Now, briefly, for the context of 1 Peter, I'd like you to turn there to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verse 7 today. And as I share the context of 1 Peter, remember that Peter is writing believers in Asia Minor. It's about 64 AD, and they are suffering. They are suffering, and they're about to suffer a very fiery ordeal at the hand of Nero within a couple months. And Peter has relayed to them that they are chosen sojourners. They are temporary residents on this earth. That we are those who are temporarily residing here. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven. The Lord is preparing a place for us. We're temporary residents. But yet within this temporary residency, we need to understand and see things rightly. And there is going to be suffering at times. Peter has shared the tremendous salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, that we've been blessed, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This tremendous salvation with its eternal implications, and that we should respond rightly and fix our hope completely on Christ and be holy because He's holy. Trust in Him, allow His holiness to come forth, and fear the Lord because of the great price that was paid, and love the body of Christ because we've been born again unto that. And then as we saw in the beginning of chapter 2, yearn for the Word of God that we might grow in respect to salvation. And then after that point in chapter 2, if you're a true believer, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, Peter shares the wonderful reality of what he is doing, even in the midst of trials. He is building up the church through Christ. He is building us up as a holy temple. We are those priests to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable. We are a distinct people. We're a holy people. We are a people for God's own possession, that we might proclaim his excellencies, the one who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then in the middle of chapter 2, we came to really the application section of our great salvation. So how are we to respond in the midst of a world that we are temporarily residing, a world which is filled with those who could care less about Christ, a world that is filled with sin? How are we to respond in that? And we saw, first of all, the application, chapter 2, verse 11, that we as aliens and residents of this earth were to stay away from fleshly lusts which wage war with our souls. If you're a believer, those desires that are merely of your flesh and not of God, God's will, they wage a battle in your soul when we yield to those things. We're to stay away from that. And this is foundational for the rest of the book and how we respond. And we are to keep our behavior excellent among Gentiles or non-believers, so that in the very thing that those who don't know Christ slander us, as they observe our good deeds, they might glorify God in the day of visitation, the day that he visits them with the gospel, that they might glorify him. We see that. And then we saw that within that we are to submit to the governing authorities. We're to allow God's order to be understood in our hearts and to submit to that. And then God might even use those circumstances to bring about those redemptive opportunities. We saw also concerning slaves and masters. It relates to the work relationship. Again, submitting even to the ones that are harsh. For what credit is there if we sin and we endure it, right? But if we do what is right and we suffer for it, this finds favor with God. And then we saw very specifically that we have been called as believers for this purpose. Since Christ suffered for us also, we are to trace in his footsteps. And we looked at the footsteps of Christ and how he responded to suffering. He didn't sin. He didn't respond back. He didn't revile in return. He uttered no threats. But he kept entrusting himself or giving himself over to the one who judges righteously. And from that, God, through his predetermined plan, brought about our salvation. He bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to God. Because we were straying like sheep. We were all straying. But we have turned to return to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. And then we came last week to commands for wives. And in this portion, we saw what believing wives are to do. We saw in chapter 3, verse 1, that in the same way, or likewise, well, in the same way as what? Same way as Christ relied on the Father. He depended on him. He did his will, even unto death. And he suffered, and God brought about redemption. In the same way, wives, you are to subject yourself to the order that God has placed in the marriage relationship. And we looked at that, and we'll review that a little bit, but you can listen to the message from last week. So with that in mind, we saw that wives are to certainly be submitting, subjecting themselves voluntarily to their husbands, even to unbelievers that are disobedient to the word, that they might be won without a word by the behavior, the Christ-like behavior of their wives, where there is a purity, a no sin in that context, and a respect. And we see, And then we saw that wives are to be internally adorning their hearts. It's not an external, I'm going to do it. It's an adorning of a heart with a right relationship with Christ. It is having that gentle, that meek and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. Only God can do that through Christ. And you need to adorn, beautify yourself as you would beautify yourself externally. Beautify your hearts before the Lord, as the holy women of old did so, who hoped in God and yet didn't fear. They didn't fear the consequences of what will happen if I obey God and do this. They feared God. And you have become her children, Sarah's children, if you do what is right without any fear. And that moves us to the portion where we're going to see our passage concerning husbands. And again, I want to encourage all of us to pay attention, but especially wives, don't be pointing your fingers at your husband. Let God work through his word in their hearts and say, what, Lord, do you want to teach me here out of this? And the same thing as I shared for the husbands last week. With that in mind, 1 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to read the portion for wives first, and then it'll go right into our verse 7, which we're going to look at today. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. We saw the same way was like Christ was, right? To your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to her, even if you got a non-believing husband, that they might be won without a word by the behavior or the conduct of their wives. As they, speaking of the husbands, observe, they look at, they see your chaste, which is pure and respectful behavior. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding of hair and wearing gold jewelry, putting on dresses. Hey, not just the outside, ladies, he says. But he says, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. This is the key. It's a heart attitude. Like Christ from the heart obeyed the Father, submitting himself, God in human flesh. In the same way, women, give your heart over. Trust the Lord. Obey him. He says, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle or meek and quieter, tranquil spirit, trusting the Lord no matter what, which is precious. It's valuable in the sight of God. For in this way, submitting with a right heart, he says, in former times, holy women, these are women who knew the Lord, these are believers, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, beautify themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened with any fear. Tremendous passage. And then the next portion. You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. These commands are to believers. And if you're sitting here today and you don't know the Lord, you're going to hear these things and you're going to say, how in the world can I do these things? This is impossible. And it is impossible. It's impossible apart from a relationship with Christ. And he enables us to rely on him. And then his character is manifest as we obey his word. So here we have our passage, two husbands here. He says, you husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way as a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as the fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, in this verse 7, I believe we're going to see two specific things within a purpose clause. Two specific things that husbands are to do. One, they are to dwell with their wives in a specific way. And secondly, to be continually granting them honor as a fellow of the grace of life. And third, ultimately, because if you don't, it is an evidence something is severely wrong with your relationship with God and your prayers are completely blocked. So with this in mind, let's take a look at the passage. So what are husbands to do? And again, this applies directly to husbands, but there are principles that apply to each and every one of us. And we need to understand God's word. What are they to do? First of all, we are to be living with our wives according to, as we will see, biblical knowledge. We need to allow God to direct our hearts in regards to our behavior and thinking towards our wives based on his word. Again, notice we see here, you husbands, likewise. We're going to look at that in a minute. Likewise, that's important. And here's the command, literally be living with your wives in an understanding way. And then there's another command, middle of the verse, and be granting them. That's really the tense here. Husbands are to be continually, habitually living or dwelling with their wives. And secondly, they're to be granting them, as we will see, honor in a minute. These speak of continual action. And so with that in mind, let's look at the first command here. You husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. Now, here we see that husbands are to continually, habitually, as we will see, dwell with their wives. And notice that term likewise. It's actually the exact same term that was in verse 1 translated in the same way. In the same way, women, you are to be submissive, adorning your heart. In the same way, you husbands are to be dwelling with your wives according to knowledge and granting honor. And what was that way? We'll look at it more in a minute, but it was referring to the manner in chapter 2 in which Christ yielded himself to the Father's will. He yielded himself to the Father's will. He suffered, and yet he obeyed. He kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And in that, God brought about his will. In the same way you wives obey the Lord and do what he says, and with the right heart, entrusting yourself to him, in the same way, husbands, obey the Lord. You need to submit to your master in heaven and obey the Lord, doing what is right and trusting yourself to the one who judges righteously. That's really the key foundational element. So with this in mind, let's take a look at this first command. It says, live with. It literally means to dwell with. To dwell with. And it speaks of an ongoing reality. It means to live together. Husbands and wives are commanded by God to be living together. But the command is on the husband. He is the one who is sovereign over the relationship in terms of order, not personhood. It says, live with your wives. Be dwelling with them. Now, this is where I have a great problem at times, where people have all kinds of excuses why they're not with their wives. There are some ministers and even some missionaries who separate from their families to do the work of ministry. I'm sorry. God doesn't have you do ministry when you're disobeying another passage in Scripture. It says, dwell with your wives. The same thing, you know, someone who's working away from the home for, you know, months and years or whatever it is. Now, I'm not talking about a specific season where someone has a job to go do for a couple of weeks or whatever that is. Talking about the reality of where do you dwell each day? Where do you dwell? Where do you live, husbands? Live with your wives. It makes sense. If there's anything separating, then it's against God's word we see. And obviously, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. And again, there are little anomalies here and there that are not characteristic of our relationships, but we are to dwell with our wives. If we're not doing this, forget the rest of the passage. Your prayers are hindered. Your relationship with God is blocked. You can pray all you want. You can think you're following the Lord. You can do all sorts of ministry. Forget it. Dwell, live with your wives. Live with. It's so obvious. So obvious. Just like someone who claims to be a believer and says, I love the body of Christ and never is around church. How can that be? Same thing. We are to dwell with our wives. With this in mind, we're to be dwelling with. And there's also commentators, and I agree that this takes on the connotation also in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, that sexual connotation also. We are to be with our wives, as we will see. We are to live together. There is to be a union and a unity. You can read that on your own time. So first of all, we have the basic command that's obvious. Husbands, be dwelling with your wives. Now, there's going to be qualifications with that. We're to be dwelling, but there's going to be qualifications. Now, certainly sometimes there are husbands dwelling in a household, living there, but they really don't live there at all, right? They got two separate lives going on. They're just doing their own thing. They're not dwelling with their wives. They're dwelling in the same house separately, in a sense. This is to be dwelling together. There's a union within the situation here, okay? So with that in mind, how and what manner are husbands to be dwelling or living? Now, we're going to see these principles apply to us in every area of our lives, no matter if you're a husband, wife, child, whatever it is. Verse 7, you husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. First of all, he says, likewise. How am I to dwell? Likewise. likewise. In the same way we saw in verse 1, you wives be submissive, same exact Greek word. In the same way as wives are to rely on the Lord and obey His word, depending on Him, in the same way as Christ did, our perfect example, didn't revile and turn, didn't sin, didn't utter threats, in the same way husbands are to do the same thing. And the implication is the submission is not to an earthly master, but to your master in heaven, husbands. Dwell and do this in the same way as Christ. Well, how did Christ do it? Let's take a look back at chapter 2, verse 18. 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Notice he says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if for the sake of conscience towards God a man bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there when you sin, this is verse 20, and are treated harshly, you endure it with patience. But if you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. And then here's the example that we are to likewise follow. For you have been called for this purpose, suffering, unjust suffering, obviously for doing what is right. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, or the tracing pattern, we saw that, for you to follow in His steps. Well, what's the pattern we follow? And it happens with wives with their husbands and husbands with their wives. The same pattern, likewise. He says, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. That's what Christ did. He came to do God's will, and he entrusted himself to the Father, and he kept doing that. He didn't sin in response. And it says here the result, and he bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Chapter 3, verse 7. In the same way, wives. Chapter 3, verse 7. You husbands, likewise, in the same way. In the same way. You can't do this if you don't know Christ. You can't do this if you are not relying on Him completely. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. We can do nothing. It's in the context of a real relationship with Jesus Christ that we are to be doing these things. We are to be entrusting ourselves. And here we have husbands. Husbands, likewise, in the same way, are to submit to God and obey Him and trust Him no matter what it looks like, no matter what the outcome. You know, so often I find husbands shirking their responsibilities in Christ because they are worried about how their wives will respond. And they're worried about the temporary realities. Do the right thing, which is the best thing for your wife, and let God take care of the consequences. He is the one who judges righteously. Do the right thing, men, no matter what. Do it, as we'll see, in the right context, too, in a loving context. You don't want to be shrinking back for the fear of man or the fear of woman in that sense. And the same thing also for women with their husbands. Obey the Lord. Don't fear. You don't want to be frightened by any fear. So in the same way, just as Christ entrusted himself by doing what is right, you are to trust Jesus and submit your heart with the right attitude and dwell with your wives, as we will see in a second, according to biblical knowledge.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, we've just scratched the surface of these verses. What should we be looking forward to?
Well, Dave, what we should be looking forward to is what God has to say about what we as husbands are to be, and it's so important. So I want to encourage you to make plans to join us tomorrow for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question: has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.